got all the calcium out of it. I don't have to swallow the resin, so I spit it up into the tissue. But as far as having the minerals in that food, I'm not eating it for nitrogen reaction. I'm eating it for a mineral content. Mm-hmm. So now, and I know what time of the month I can even eat the piece of pizza pie without having to worry about it. Right. But I'm not going to swallow the melted cheese. That doesn't say I wouldn't eat the product. But to swallow it, knowing it's not practical. But to say, to not use it, the body will work with it. Now let me show you something. It is through nutrition we find this other law called the compensatory law. First, you have the solar cycle by the light, how it grows. Second, you have the lunar cycle by the pressure. Then you have the third cycle, which is the placebo or compensatory cycle. And that's what brother Jesus came, and the day before they nailed to the cross, what did he do that night?
Bread and wine.
What were you saying, though?
He had a party.
He had a big party, right?
Uh-huh.
Food, right? And drink, right?
Yeah.
Good. No. But before he did anything, what did he pick up the food and say?
He picked a solid piece up,
the bread, he broke it, he said, eat this.
It's my body.
It's my body. It's given for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the liquid and he said the same thing. But he's taken a solid substance and a liquid substance. We call it the master charge or the placebo principle or compensatory condition. We can prove that now to ourselves by kinesis, if the body lies to itself. This body doesn't like itself. Now, pick a food and you want to eat it anytime you like. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Just pick it up and say it.
Okay. Corn chips.
Sure. When you want to eat it?
All the time.
All right. See if it's good in the morning. See if it's good in the middle of the day. See if it's good at night. Load of time. Good at night?
Okay, good at night.
Good. Morning?
Morning.
No. Pick it anytime you like and bless it.
Okay, I'd like to eat them all the time and they're blessed.
Good. And morning? Noon? Night. Pick it, but don't bless it now. Anytime.
I want to eat it anytime and eat it with reckless abandon, sinfully.
This has nothing to do with your programming. This is how your body
yeah.
is set by the archetypal formation of the elements to your structure. And we discovered that years ago when we were testing it, that Jesus was saying he wasn't referring to people having sins. You use the word sin, but actually we know it's misapplied decisions due to a lack of knowledge. They could have eaten the solid substance, the liquid substance at the right time, but they didn't know the right time. They could eat it at the lunar time, but didn't know it. But they ate it at the wrong time and didn't bless it, and they all got sick over the centuries. Now, if they bless it wrong time, they were compensatory relief from the moment. What we try to say that it's not a technique that we abuse. It's a compensatory technique like a credit card. You have to conquer it at some point in time. So it's best to know the growth cycle, it's best to know the lunar cycle, and to know you have a backup system in case you forget. Bless it. And therefore it will go through and be accepted by the body. The body will not reject it and cause it to break down. So therefore your own mouth is your best guideline on all the laws of nature regarding your health and function in your body. So, anytime you find yourself sick from any kind of a problem, backtrack where the food is going in. It has to be one of those elements that are not going in on time, either for breakfast, lunch, or supper. And if it's in the lunar cycle, you have an option there. And if you bless it, you have the option there. But if you do it the wrong time and don't bless it, Don't blame nobody, blame yourself. You have complete control over it. Now, raw food has been promoted and treated as an ideal system of living. And cooked food also has been treated to be ideal form of living. Neither are completely true because there's no 100% cooked food that is valid, and there's no 100% raw food system that is valid. Nature didn't make it that way. In the morning on the trees, there are certain foods must be cooked. They cannot be eaten raw. You'll get sick. Like it or not, you're stuck with it. So in the morning, on a tree, cashew nut. You can't eat it raw. You'll get sick. So don't go eat it raw and fool yourself. Now, most people don't know where the cashew comes from. This is what a cashew fruit looks like. It looks like a pear. It has a big stone in the center like a kiwi fruit. It's covered with a brown hairiness, look like a coconut. And it's nature's first attempt at an enema bag to get rid of the waste calcium out of it. So what it goes in here, what you call the cashew nut, is waste calcium that the fruit doesn't store. But it isn't in a lactic base. It looks like a breast to nurse for orphans and people who can't nurse from their mother so that they have natural calcium in a nut milk source minus lactic acid. And therefore we feed people, and I got three little kids now who will be feeding in it. Two are adopted and one was born prematurely. And they're all geniuses in the class today. And the oldest one is about 9 years of age. And they have their extrasensory capacities all of them up. So the parents work with them. But they understood because they brought them and we fed them strictly with the cashew nut milk in the morning. We fed them the sesame nut milk or the sunflower seed nut milk in the middle of the day. And then we fed them peanut milk at night. These kids are grown and they pass every test. And more than that, they're super geniuses in their class. Now, another thing is that their convex vision is not turned off. Everybody's born convex vision, but it gets turned on when you put salt in the milk. That's sort of chlorine before 3 years of age. It shuts it, turns it down, but doesn't turn it off. Convex vision is their capacity to see through objects. We call it clairvoyant. I don't know about clairvoyant, but I know the ability to see into the visible or invisible ranges by focusing the pupil of the brain. So these boys or girls, they're all born to turn on. Everybody's born to turn on, but get turned down when the parent puts salt or certain chlorine into their mouth before 3 years, gets turned on. Then it takes you 80 years to turn back up. So Jesus, from 12 to 30, he had to work like a horse to get his turn up back up. So he went all over the world trying to turn it all back. Well, it's turned up, it's turned up. But you have it. It's in you, it's there. So, you know, cashew nut milk is the ideal milk in the morning. Can use almond or others, but that's natural calcium there already, waiting outside of a lactic source. But you have to cook it. So you're not cooking it for nitrogen. So remember one thing, when you cook something, it's for the mineral. When you don't cook it, it's for the nitrogen reaction. The next food that must be cooked is a banana that never gets ripe. It's called a plantain. Have you ever seen any? planting. A banana that never gets ripe, but no matter how you keep it, you're never going to get ripe. And therefore, you'll throw it away and think you got jip. The trunk is big like this or small like that, but it's called plantain. Now, you bake them, and there's a very simple way to bake them. You put it in the oven when they're brown, not when they're green. Sometimes they cook it when they're green to slice it and serve it. And some countries do like that, but that's not ideal. They're using oil with it. Here you bake it when it's brown, the skin outside turns brown, and you bake it at 350 to 375 degrees till the skin pops. You'll hear it pop in the oven, and you'll smell the odor in the room like a cake cooking. Then you look inside it and see it. It'll look out like it's oozing out yellow out of the skin. It's not finished. You allow it to stay in that heat until it turns slightly copper color. Then you turn on the heat and keep it at 200 for a few minutes, and then it's already cooked through properly. So it should look copper color when you take it out. But it's a banana that never gets ripe. Now, it has to be cooked. You feed them, it's for both male and female. You give the most of it to the man at night, and most of it to the woman in the morning. You give a man a little in the morning, and give a woman a little at night, like a sort of 80-20 distribution. 80% of the plantain should be eaten at night by the man, 20% of it by the woman at night. In the morning, she eats 80% of the plantain and he eats 20%. It is known as the male-female hormone balance of food, all set up by nature. A banana that never gets ripe is called a plantain. But that's the way you eat it. So among the natives of various countries, they don't have the problem called menopause.
You can buy it at the drugstore, right, also in a capsule.
That's the plantain. Then there's the breadfruit. You can't eat it raw. And when you bake it, it smells like of bread baking. Have you ever seen spaghetti squash? When you cook it and then you cut open it, the inside turns out like a spaghetti. Well, the breadfruit is similar like that. When you bake it, it smells like a bread. And when you scoop it out, it's the odor of like bread. But it's actually a fruit that grows in the tree. Now you combine plantain and breadfruit with coconut.
Fresh
bread. Yeah, you put it together and you're going to make yourself a most unique meal. Coconut, if you eat it, the oil is a saturated oil. It's not ideal for your mouth. It's ideal for your skin and your hair and to massage you. But if you cook it with a plantain and a breadfruit, the oil is neutral while it's passing through your body. Here is nature's compensation. These three things act as a nutritional polarity. They don't cause you to gain no cholesterol buildup. But if you eat the coconut by itself, you'll get a cholesterol buildup. If you eat it with a plantain and a breadfruit, you wouldn't have it. So if you want to make a nice cake in the morning, you take the plantain and the breadfruit, push it together, all together in a bowl, and take your coconut and grate it all over, squeeze it good, take some Hershey cocoa, stir it up good, a little maple syrup, and you got some nuts there and stick it all over, man, you got nice birthday cake, Christmas cake, right in the morning. And then if you have a little peach wine, oh boy. Apple cider.
You get seconds on a phone.
Right, you go right. You see, you can't say you can't gourmet when you eat natural. You can really gourmet because for the first time, you're gourmeting without getting sick. That's what I discovered. I said, I love to eat it, or maybe that's the reason why I have to learn it this way. But it's not denying yourself anything, it's allowing you to eat, but knowing how to function with it. And not to feel that you're trapped or you're following some routine of denial. There's no denial in this. So far, have you seen any denial? Or you see all the options of what? Knowing when to use it. Good. That's morning. They have to be cooked. There's nothing else to be cooked in the morning. Otherwise, you can eat it raw. So nature didn't give you too much to shut you down. Middle of the day now, there are certain foods that must be cooked. You can't be eaten raw. Tomato. Unless it's vine ripened, and that means no speck of green in it, and it's soft, not too mushy, but firm, and then you can eat it raw in your salad. But tomato by itself can be cooked, and you would never destroy the vitamin C. Now, if you want to strengthen your heart, you can run it through and get yourself tomato juice out of a can, 4 ounce glass, with a teaspoon of backstrap molasses, stir the two up together, take care of your heart. You never have a heart problem. So all those people who keel over and have heart transplant, they've got a problem with their vitamin C and the iron. But here you can put it in the middle of the day, right up to 7 o'clock, 4 ounces of tomato juice with a teaspoon of backstrap molasses. It comes from the sugar cane. Now, that tomato has to be cooked. Unless you want to eat it vine ripened, it's okay. Eggplant. That has to be cooked. So then Mr. Miyakushi says he wouldn't eat these stuff because they're toxic. I knew he didn't know when. It's toxic at the wrong time. But toxicity has nothing to do with why you think it's toxic. It's because a nightshade plant, you know now, takes in oxygen and gives out carbon dioxide at night. And takes in carbon dioxide and gives out oxygen in the day. And the people that were toxified or hurt by it were the ones who slept under it at night. All the case histories on record, and you trace them down from every area in the country, has been that. And I haven't found one where there's any cut in the body closet or any virus. They've all been asphyxiated from sleeping under it.
What do you call this again? I don't understand it. Nightshade plant. Why, give me reason why it's called nightshade. It just doesn't make
sense. Because it behaves like a plant from sunrise to sunset and a human being from sunset to sunrise. So it goes into a shade or shutdown switch.
Like a morning glory that closes up or something. This is
and so they call that in the agricultural world a bat. A bat is a rat.
But it
flies like a bird, but has no feather and squeaks like a rat. Hangs upside down so that the bird can't recognize him. And lives up in a hollow cave so that no rat will get hold of it. There's a story about that. This bat saw a war going on between the rat and the birds and was willing to be their CIA. So he could climb up the tree and look to see where the birds were coming and go down to tell the rats where they were coming. And he, after a while, he became friends with the birds and he would tell them where the rats were hiding. So after a while, both of them thought they had a good friend. The rats thought they had a friend in telling them where the birds were. The birds thought they had a good friend telling them where the rats were. Simply because each one was eating the other person's food. And the birds couldn't get enough food because the rats were eating it up. And the rats couldn't get enough food because the birds were fed. So this bat would be the person who did that. That's the story goes. Till one day, mother rat figured out that this guy is not a friend. And one of the mother birds figured out he's not a friend. That this was the worst enemy they had ever had because they never could get enough food and had to depend on this guy to tell them where it was. And so they figured he was really their enemy. And then he had to fly to avoid being eaten by the rat or picked to death by the word. So he found refuge in a cave, but to his amazement, he hung upside down and the bird missed him. And the rats missed him because this guy climbed up the cave and he has no feather to recognize him. That's how the story goes. That's how he got him back. Meaning it can switch back and forth. So a nightshade plant has this quality.
I didn't know what meant by nightshade. I do think.
It can switch back and forth. One time it's acting like a plant, next time it acts like a human being. So like the bat. One moment it acts like a rat, next moment it acts like a bird. All right. We have the bell pepper. Together, the tomato and the eggplant with the bell pepper runs out itself. The bell pepper can be eaten by itself as a salad, but it won't affect you because it's neutral at that time of the day. But if you combine it with tomato and eggplant, it'll make the best tomato sauce and high vitamin C content that can withstand any amount of heat and go into your body and help your intestinal tract. So you have a good combination of these three foods in the middle of the day when they cook. Then rhubarb. Now spinach, you should not cook it. Always eat your spinach raw. So many people who buy this stuffed up spinach cook in their cake, it makes themselves sick. It's to be eaten in the middle of the day, but it cannot be eaten cooked. If you do eat it cooked, make sure you got some apple cider vinegar, honey, and distilled water ready to break up the gas. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself fermenting very fast with gas.
So what's that formula for gas again? Apple cider?
2 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar, 2 teaspoons of honey, and 8 ounces of distilled water, and you take it twice a day, lunchtime and supper time. But don't take it in the morning. You'll eliminate the gas, you'll eliminate any food that you put in there wrong time. It'll slow down the gas action till your time comes around for it to eliminate. So, rhubarb, artichoke. All the rest can be eaten raw and sprouted. These here have to be cooked. Tomato, eggplant, bell pepper, rhubarb, artichoke. Okay. Night time now.
You said bell pepper is okay raw.
Yeah. Right. If you put it together with the tomato and the eggplant, it's all right.
That's
to make a sauce.
It's the only time it's good raw.
It can be eaten raw
by itself
as a salad. Yeah. But normally if you want to round out the tomato sauce with a vitamin C, all three of them make up vitamin C for the middle of the day. Now at nighttime, mushroom, don't eat it raw. You may go into a lot of cafeteria help stores now that are putting out serve yourself and you see raw mushroom slice up. Don't put it in your mouth. You'll get problems. Mushroom must be cooked. Asparagus. Potato. That's not sweet potato or yam. I'm talking about the white potato. Peanut. Yucca. Cactus. Many people see the cactus and they don't eat it. But they got a lot of protein there.
Talking about prickly pear, would that be an example?
Yeah. Isn't that a fruit?
Nighttime.
A fruit.
Nighttime. Now, if I were walking through the desert, I eat all the cactus in front of me at night, and I'm ready for next day from sunrise right up to midday without having any problems, because my body will have all the vitamin C from the night before to insulate me. And then in the middle of the day, I can crawl into the sun and cover myself up and lie down and sleep till the afternoon. Get up again and start walking. Because why? The sun is hot up in the top and cold at the bottom.
The only problem would be picking up those stickers when it's too dark.
No. It's very easy to take the cactus. You take your shoe and push it out of the ground. Cactus will break. And then you take your shoe and push the cactus against the sand, and all the bristles come off. And the bristles become now either what you can make a little fire with to cook the whole cactus. Survival training.
Do you need to cook the prickly pear, the pear itself on the cactus? Or
can you you can eat it raw. Prickly pear can eat it raw.
But if you cook the leaves or whatever.
The leaves of the cactus, you
that,
eat it.
That
yeah. Okay, those are all the foods at nighttime. The rest can be eaten raw. And I'm not talking tissue now. Tissue must be cooked. But those are the foods that must be cooked. Now, everybody know how to cook rice? No? Okay. Here is your pot. You fill it with the rice. Then you fill it with the water. Right up to the height of your thumbnail. See? The joint of the thumb. Right up to the joint of the thumb. The water. So it goes right above the thumb joint. You put it like that on the rice and fill it up with water right above the thumb joint. You can cook 1,000,000 pounds of rice with that technique. It never goes far. All you're doing is bringing the water to a boil. As soon as it starts boiling, you turn the flame down low and let all the water evaporate out. As soon as it evaporates out, you take the whole pot of rice and you put it in the oven at 180 to 200 degrees. It's called dextrinizing. You're going to convert the starch directly into a sugar, like a superoxide gasoline. And that gives you your energy.
How long do you leave it at 200 degrees?
Minimum 15 minutes, but you can stay as long as you want. It'll never spoil. And the longer it stays in that oven at that rate, it gets sweeter and sweeter, and you think somebody's loading it up with honey or some kind of sugar. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. This is a natural dextrinization going on.
Do you wash your rice several times?
Yes, you can wash it and then
3-4 times.
Yes. Now, here is something with rice. You have 3 options. You can take the brown rice by itself, or the white rice by itself for your acid balance, or you can take brown, white, and wild rice and combine them and get a balanced protein intake. So I like to do in the morning, I like to take a brown rice. And in the middle of the day, I like to take brown rice with wild rice. At nighttime, I like to take a little white rice. So that gives me my variety. And also, there's a combination chart. Let's look at a combination chart. And we'll see what we learn, where the growth is more important than the chemistry. You see, there's a combination chart. It was the back of the book. No. Keep going. That's it. All right, seafood combination. Okay. You notice it says starches and proteins are poor combinations. Give me a good reason. What you learn looking at the first 2 foods, why they wouldn't combine properly.
One's from the trees and one's from under the ground.
Correct. So even though the chemistry may be important, the growth cycle of the structure already takes precedence to make it not ideal for the body to utilize. Therefore, you can cut across all the chemistry and get directly to the growth cycle, so where the body will utilize the food better. So here you have nuts on the trees and your potatoes under the ground. They're not going to grow good. But a potato and a peanut will go, but a peanut is not a nut. See? It grows under the ground. But nuts on the trees will not grow. So right away you have a definite indication of why food or certain types don't interact. Now turn to the next page where the clock is. That's the first page. The second page is a clock. And the second page is. Second page. Yeah, that's it. Now, we read the clock from 3 a.m. in the morning. You're going to run into a lot of other schools telling you to read the clock from midnight. When it comes to the solar nutrition approach, the reason we read the clock from 3 o'clock in the morning, you can have the best brain, the best liver, and you don't breathe, they're going to bury you. So as far as we're concerned, your lungs take priority over your liver to regulate your health all the time. So we read the clock from 3 a.m. in the morning, starting with the lungs and ending up with the liver. Starting with the lungs and ending up with the liver, you don't start with the liver and end up with the gallbladder. That doesn't say other schools don't use that method. They will use that method because that's their looking for the functional order of the organ. We're looking for the respiratory control of the organ, the actual principle that regulates the pressure in the organ. So it's like your ignition switch takes priority over any other part of your car, when you get to go in the car and turn it on. If you don't turn on the ignition and kick over the engine, you ain't got nothing, right? So that's what we're looking at. What makes you click? Your lungs make you click. So from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning, this is the time the Eastern people call the God time, Renan the God of the God, or Renan the season of the season. Under Caesar, Mr. Bush, you owe them income tax. Under God, you owe income bread. See? So, in the morning, you need to know how to regulate your respiration. So, you wake up between 15 minutes to 3. And you wait until it's 10 to 3, and you blow the air out of both nostrils on the back of the hand, you're going to see one is stronger than the other. Now try it and see which hand is stronger, which nose is stronger. Interesting, eh?
Yes.
One is stronger than the other. Which one is stronger?
Right.
All right, look at your clock and see what time is it now. 4:10. Everybody agree? 4:10? You're in your right nostril? Mine is left.
Mine's left also.
Mine's right.
Mine's right.
Well, let me explain now. 10 minutes after four, and you're still in the right nostril, you're hypo. 10 minutes before four, and you're in the left nostril, you're hyper. You have to be exactly at four to switch. So if you come in 10 minutes too soon, you will be hyper, meaning you're going too fast. If you come in 10 minutes after the hour, it's hypo, you're going too slow. So the body is not keeping up its pattern. So you have to learn how to correct it. So all those who are in the left nostril should be in the left nostril, because that's after the time. 10 minutes after four, you should be in the left nostril.
If you're not
in the left nostril after 10 minutes after the hour, you're too slow. If you're 10 minutes too soon, you're hyper. So 10 minutes to 4 and you're in the left nostril, it's too soon. 10 minutes after 4, you're still in the right nostril, it's too slow. Now you have to learn how to correct it.
Does that change sometimes from day to day?
It changes every hour on the hour, so if you don't notice it, you will never pay any attention to it, and then you eventually complain of certain illnesses in your body and don't know why, and then they'll take the symptoms and give you medicine to slow it down and feed them. Now, if you're too fast, you take the right fist and place it under the left armpit, and you press down like that, and blow out through the nose. You do it twice, then you check. If you're too slow, you take the right armpit and place the left fist on it, and press down this way, and check. That is to bring it back up, this is to slow it down. So right fist on the left armpit is to slow down. Left fist on the right armpit is to bring it back up to normal. So your normal operation is end the hour, on the hour, all the time. Your body is working to maintain the pressure on time. Now, health is minerals of a certain weight and pH factor moving on time, all the time. And that is what is health in a normal person's healthy body. The moment the minerals of a certain weight and pH factor changes its timing, then you have either too soon or too late. Then that's what we call sickness or disease. You check with any surgeon or doctor and they'll tell you the same thing. A healthy person is on time, and a sick person is either too soon or too late. And therefore, you can regulate this yourself, because you breathe, you have to eat. Now, if you breathe on time, the next organ following the lungs is what? Breathing from right to left to right.
Large intestine.
Large intestine, good. So in the morning when you get up, you check if you're breathing on time, and then re-regulate it if you're not. Then you'll see between 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock on the descending function of the large intestine, which is from 6 to 7, if your body is working on time, you're heading to a certain room in your house. It's called the innermost chamber. And when you pray in my name, ask. Retreat to your innermost chamber and pray. Pray for a release. Well, it's funny. I was a kid studying to be a priest. My father says, if you can't go to the bathroom, go to the toilet and pray for a release. It works. So, the 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, the colon should be emptying out. You should be getting ready to empty the colon if you're on time. If you're not, and you have to eat, you breakfast before you go to the bathroom, then you're off, because you're using pressure now to push dead waste that is not going on its own momentum. So if you don't have to eat your breakfast before you go to the bathroom, you're still in good health. So it's best to have your bowel movement before you have your breakfast in the morning. Now when you come to your breakfast, it should be from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. That's the stomach time. And if you put your almonds in, you guarantee that your stomach will work efficiently for you, because you're getting your protein, that is a fiber, it has nitrogen, it's pre-soaked, and it's organizing your weight distribution in your body, and it's organizing the hydrochloric acid for the digestion of other foods. So almond is a very important food. It comes from the Greek word meaning whole world, almon, the whole world. And so those who know it, use it, and I use it, that's the time of day. And anytime you're going to have a problem with cancer, you'll find that's one of the foods they recommend as a preventative process in the body. Now, from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, most of us get the sugar blues, right? And that's why we give you coffee, cocoa, and maple syrup with your breakfast so you don't get the sugar blues. Years ago, I used to drink lots of coffee until I learned not to drink that much and then correct my own. So, Folgers coffee, 1 cup, teaspoon of baking cocoa from Hershey, and maple syrup to sweeten. The maximum amount you can take is 2 cups, minimum is 1. You can eat it or drink it with your breakfast. So you can take it with your nuts and your almonds and your fruits and prunes, because you need your prune in the morning to ensure you're getting your potassium. Prunes, yeah, pre-soaking. Most people don't need it because they think what? It's nature's best preventative against constipation. So you eat your prunes in the morning. You don't need too much. Most you can eat is 3 together with your nuts. But you're ensuring that you get your potassium to keep your colon clean. And to prevent you from the sugar blues, you can take your cocoa, your Hershey cocoa, and your Folgers coffee, and your maple syrup, and most is 2 cups, minimum 1 cup, with your breakfast, and you won't have a problem. Now,
if you're not a coffee drinker, let me put it this way,
to avoid is not a cure. To overindulge is not a practical issue.
I just don't like coffee.
Your hormones will not function efficiently for you. You'll always have problems with menstrual problems. And you'll always have problems with headaches. Well, how is the menstrual problem?
Fine.
Good. How is your, you have any hypercondition? Get excited in advance? Do you get excited?
Oh, sometimes.
That's where it throws off your adrenals in your pancreas and your adrenaline.
It's hard for me because I've always, you know, I mean, I've always felt fortunate because I didn't have to give up coffee. I've never been attracted to it. Where, you know, with all the other approaches, it's like get people off of coffee. So you're saying you should drink coffee.
1 cup is essential to your health. It is not the quantity.
Resistance.
I know.
And not decaffeinated with caffeine.
Plain coffee.
Will tea do the same thing? Will tea do the same thing?
In the afternoon.
Oh.
In the afternoon you drink the tea, in the morning you drink the coffee, and you have 2 types available to you for your hormones.
Okay.
That is the full juice of the tree and the Maryland club from the bush in the afternoon.
If you want to eat some, have something a little bit better than Folgers gourmet kind of coffee, there are other kinds from a tree, are there? No? They're all bushes? You have to drink Folgers?
Maryland Club was just sold by Coca-Cola there in Houston, so I hope whoever just bought it doesn't change the name. Because they may have a problem.
There are only two types of coffee sources in the Western world, outside of the Middle East and the Africa. And that is Brazil and Colombia. Brazil is where the tree coffee grows. It was given to Louis XIV of France, and he sent it down there when the Portuguese, the Spanish people, were trying to colonize Brazil. So, it came from Turkey, and that's where they grew it, and the largest source of tree coffees in the world is Brazil coffee. Then, the Maryland Club was planted, and that came from Africa. So, there is no other source of coffee. There's no nighttime coffee except the chicory root, but it's not a coffee. It tastes like a coffee, it looks like a coffee, it smells like a coffee, but it's not a coffee. But it's good at night. So if you want to drink a Maryland Club with a little chicory root around 6:30, 7 o'clock, fine.
Now, you're saying it's important to add either cocoa to it or maple syrup?
Only in the morning you add the cocoa and the maple syrup to the Folgers coffee.
Because they're all from trees, cooked maple syrup.
They're all on a tree.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know maple syrup comes from?
Yeah, I like maple syrup, but
do you?
I don't like sweet things a lot. Must be too alkaline.
Sweet thing has nothing to do with its origin.
No, I know. It's getting used to this different taste. They're wonderful, really.
Do you know, I'll tell you something, all the food that you eat in the store you buy in a package, they have some sugar based on the sugar cane?
No, I don't usually buy
them. So. So the point is this, if you're going to eat, you have sweet. The body needs it 3 times a day. You get it from a tree in the form of maple. You get it from a sugar cane in the natural brown. If you get it white, it's for your kidney if you don't, you can't go to the bathroom. White sugar was not invented to be eaten like we eat it today. It was invented a device to clean the kidney and the bladder when the person was suffering from the inability to go to the bathroom to urinate. And that when the British man got that from going into India and China, Hong Kong, that was saved his life, whereas he'd be dead from not going to the bathroom. Because he didn't know what to do in those areas, and they gave him the white sugar. But beet sugar was made at the time, and the beet sugar was trying to take over the industry when the British was fighting against the Europeans, and they didn't take over the industry. So they went looking for the sugar cane. But sugarcane doesn't make white sugar until you refine it. So they realized they had to do double work to compete with the beet industry. And so they came all through the Western Hemisphere looking for areas where they can plant the sugarcane, large crops, and then convert it from brown sugar to white sugar to compete. For white sugar, as you buy it today in the store, is primarily a medicine for people who can't urinate. But we use it now as a what? Get weak. The sugar blues. Yeah. We overdo it. Now the brown sugar is healthy. That's natural. The cane syrup. The molasses is healthy for the iron. When you mix it with the tomato juice, you stabilize your heart. Now, you have another food where you go from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock so that you don't have a problem with your pancreas and spleen. That's a hot orange. It cleans the varicose veins, and that's the best time to do it if you can't do it in the morning. To clean out the varicose veins.
Between 9 and 11.
Yeah. Now, from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, you have two types of illnesses that will attack you. A heart attack, you fall over around 12 o'clock, and they usually have to give you what? CPR, right? That is, they put oxygen in your throat, in your nose, to keep you alive, and you may make it. 9 times out of 10, you look at the food person, yes, F, and that will give him a heart attack, because it's all mixed up. Now, at the same time, between 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, you'll get another attack right in the right side under the ribcage here. A burning sensation, you'll keel over. You have ulcers. And the correction for that is 4 ounces of cabbage juice and a half a teaspoon of cayenne pepper. Mix it up and drink it and do it for 3 days straight, and your ulcers are gone for good. The doctor can examine it, you blue in the face, and he will tell you to straight to your face that whatever you did, don't tell me what you did because I'm going broke. He's not able to operate with you because I had also said no.
3 days, you said? 3 times a day?
No. 3 days, once a day. You're doing it for 3 straight days. That's a plus, minus, a neutral. That's what therapy is, plus, minus, neutral, 3. Your body is set up like that already. You know it as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in physics, it's plus, minus, neutral. So the body immediately corrects its problems. So if you're doing it today, tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow, at that particular time, between 1 and 3.
3 days.
Okay. Now from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, if you've got a pain in your lower back, you can check that you used to wet your bed as a child. And that's a shock that is there, and your pain is appearing to you in your body around that time in the afternoon. You better start correcting it. So the best cure for that in the afternoon is your melon juice or your KB11 tea. KB11, K for kidney, B for bladder. And 11 herbs, these are tea you make and drink it in the afternoon for that kidney and the bladder. And you can take your melon juice, you can take your grapes, you can take your strawberries, your blueberries. That's the perfect time to take it for that bladder problem. And you can get a massage around that area to loosen it up. Now, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock is the kidney, and most people die at 6 o'clock when they have a transplant. The kidney gives out on them. So if you want to correct the kidney problem, and if you got kidney stones, that's the time to take 4 ounces of cranberry juice and 4 ounces of corn oil to get rid of your kidney stones. And you can do it for 2 days, one each day at 6:30. You do it once a day at 6:30 for 2 days, and you'll see the kidney stones coming out.
3 days.
2 days. Maximum 3, minimum 2.
I
Cranberry juice and corn oil. Now, if you're coming up the wrong hour, from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, that's the time when your boyfriend and girlfriend go out and have a dinner candlelight. And they make all kind of wonderful promises. And then from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, they start arguing. That's when their iodine is running out in them. So they better have some seafood or some egg or something to sweeten their head up. And the biggest arguments between people are usually around between 9 and 11 at night.
So, do you think irritability relates to a little bit less of iodine?
Yes. It's called eat now, pay later. Iodine. And it's the only trace mineral that will insulate you against nuclear radiation. Whenever there's a nuclear radiation threat, that's the first thing the government will issue. Iodine tablets. So that, you know, is important to maintain your health, to function in the environment where you've been inhaling a lot of toxic substances. So your seafood is high in iodine. And if you want to insure yourself against arguments with the opposite sex or partner, make sure you got your iodine. It's called the master charge of the body. Eat now, pay later. In other words, you got to guarantee a way to insure your body against a breakdown. Now, from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, that's your gallbladder. If you get a gallbladder attack, it's usually going to be in the right side, right under the rib cage. Here in this area, and I have it. So if you don't know what to do, they'll bury you because you'll be a DOA on arrival to the hospital. You fall over, you go unconscious. And most of the time, people don't know what to do. By the time the ambulance gets here, they try to give you oxygen, and then they really kill you. If you fall over in a pain at night on that side of the body, first thing you do is put your hand over your mouth like this, blow your ear out, and then hear it back and do like that. Blow out, inhale, blow out.
What are you doing?
Blow out.
Blow out.
Inhale, blow out. Again.
And you inhale?
Yeah.
And then you blow out?
No, look. Blow out. Like that, the nose out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Inhale the nose, then blow out. You will survive. It's the reverse of CPR. CPR will kill you. And therefore, anyone who has CPR had a gallbladder attack never make it to the hospital. They're always DOA. I had to sign too many certificates for that sort of thing. The DOAs are always the ones that are nighttime on their gallbladder attack. And I have a friend, she was a mother, had a gallbladder attack, and by the time they called me, I was at the store, and I said, I'll be there. But I realized by the time I got there, I saw the ambulance. And I knew what they would do. So by the time I came in, I couldn't say anything because why? The doctor was there, and all the other people were there, and they said, we're sorry, we already gave you CPR. And I turned to the girl and said, I hate to tell you this, but I don't have any hope to offer your mother because that's the worst thing they can do. And they pump and pump, and then the doctor said, you better get her to the hospital. It's an emergency. So they threw her in the ambulance and rushed her to the hospital. And the other doctor, by the time they got to her, he came out in 10 minutes and said, is there any links of kin here? And she said, yeah. He says, she was a DOA. Couldn't make it. Overloading too much carbon dioxide. So, but he had pushed oxygen and the oxygen locked it. He didn't know that. But, so, we're trying to tell the person don't ever use oxygen. If ever you are by yourself, it should happen. First thing you blow out like this against your hand, forming the carbon dioxide, you hit it back like a suction, then blow again. It's like a reverse suction pump.
So like a, you inhaling it or doing it in a paper bag, would that be...
That would be all right.
Is this just for if you have a gallbladder attack? Or
that's a gallbladder attack. No.
Period.
That will keep you from dying.
Right.
Now, you can cure yourself of gallbladder because you got gallstones. And they're only caused by eating black pepper. They're not caused by anything else in the world. Black pepper in this country comes in powdered form. It'll kill you with gallstones because they don't dissolve. They get trapped up in the gallbladder. The Oriental people never used the black pepper in a powdered form. They took it in a little ball, like a clove, and put it in a muslin cloth, like a sack, and immersed it into the hot soup or whatever they were cooking, gravy, to get the zinc out of it. Then they threw it away. Over here, it is not nice to serve that, and therefore we cannot give the queen a present of it, so the Major Grace shipped her a batch of nice black pepper crushed up in a nice golden container for Queen Victoria, and she's going to impress her folks at the banquet. She spread it all over her food. And later on, we hear King Victor die from gallbladder stone. Too much of this thing got stuck in the gallbladder. But the man who developed blackened fish also had the same problem. Because why? He mixed the salt with the black pepper, roll it on the grill, take the fish and did a blackening. And he experimented his own self. And then 6 months after, he developed blackened fish. Right there in Louisiana, they cut him open and he lost his gallbladder. Because he was so impacted with it. So, anytime you eat black pepper in a powdered form, you're going to be vulnerable to the gallstones. Now, if you want to clean your own self out, fine. The technique is very simple. You find a weekend and you want to do it. So, like tonight is Friday night, you start off, before you go to bed Friday night, you take 4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of corn oil. And when you wake up in the morning, you repeat the same thing, 4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of corn oil. That's a Sunday morning. Then every hour on the hour right up to midday, you take 4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of distilled water. And at midday, you take 4 ounces of corn oil and 4 ounces of tomato juice. At midday, you take 4 ounces of corn oil and 4 ounces of tomato juice. Then every hour on the hour, till you're ready to go to bed that Saturday night, you take 4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of distilled water. And that Saturday night, when you're ready to go to sleep, before you go to sleep, you take 4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of olive oil. Just like you did in the morning when you woke up. That's all day Saturday. Now Sunday you repeat the same thing when you wake up again. 4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of olive oil. And every hour on the hour till midday, you drink 4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of distilled water. At midday, you drink 4 ounces of corn oil and 4 ounces of tomato juice. And then every hour on the hour till you're ready to go to bed at Sunday night, 4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of distilled water. And when you're ready to go to bed, actually now, before you go to bed, at Sunday night, 4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of olive oil. So you're repeating it like Sunday. By Monday, you should be fasting out your gallstones. And if you do it up to 7 days at maximum, you don't do it more than 7 days, 3 to 4 days is minimum. Maximum is 7 days, but you'll be passing your gallstones, you'll see there in your toilet bowl. But you don't have to worry with eating because you're drinking enough juice and water to keep you filled, but the gallstones will be coming out.
Very first evening, it's the corn oil that rather than olive. And after that, it's olive.
Everything is olive oil except middle of the day. Oh, middle of the day is tomato juice and corn oil. Morning and night is olive oil and apple juice. Middle of the day is corn oil and tomato juice. And in between is juice and water. Got it?
Morning too,
is
the oil.
Yeah. Now you got one more organ to go, and that's the liver. Between 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock is the liver. And most people who are addicts start breaking down from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning. So in the disco, and most of the drunken addicts in the frontier days, he was a doctor who they had to sober up to get the bullet out of the forest ranger or the local ranger or sheriff that some outlaw shut him up. So they would go get that doctor out of the water trough around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and sober him up with coffee. But your liver gives out. And so in order to ensure your liver to work it, clean it up, you do what is called a liver flush. Before you go to bed at night, you take 1 tablespoon of olive oil, a clove of garlic, a slice of purple onion, a half of a lemon. You could do without the onion, but use the garlic and the lemon and a sprig of parsley. Crush it all up, squeeze it good, and drink it before you go to bed. I repeat, a clove of garlic, a half of a lemon, and a tablespoon of olive oil, and a sprig of parsley. Crush it all up good and drink it before you go to bed. You do it for 7 days. This cleans up the liver. Before you go to bed, for 7 days, it cleans up your liver. Now, Western man suffers from hardening of the liver, which they call cirrhosis. Eastern man suffers from fungated liver, where he eats too much raw fish, so his liver gets mushy. So they both have a problem. And the cure for that is a liver flush or hot sake. Hot sake is for the freeze up your liver, and you have to use it hot. So you take it before you go to bed, and that helps clean up the liver.
Does that do the same as that other one, guys?
Uh-huh.
What about the endocrine system? Is there any particular time that these things stop working so well, or it's a totally different matter?
Your endocrine system isn't involved with your digestion.
Well, that's true. I guess.
So we're only concerned with what you do to stay functioning your digestion. The endocrine system is involved in trauma. See, and the traumas come before you're born and during injuries before they occur. Now, let's say, do you have any ache or pain in your body?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Right now, my lower back.
All right, right side or left side?
More on the left.
Good. Well, how long did it happen?
Lately, it's been for about a week.
Now I'm going to ask you a crazy question. What color comes to mind when you think of it?
Pardon me?
What color comes to mind when you think of it? It's a crazy question.
Red or orange?
Which is predominant, the red or the orange?
Red.
All right. Before it happened, did you move or change your lifestyle or work?
I know what made it happen. I wore high heels.
Uh-huh.
And I know you wear them very often and threw my back off.
So that's been through the muscle up.
Uh-huh.
And so you zero in on your...
I know it. That's from this time.
So all you got to do is take off the shoes and go soak in a bathtub.
Right, it's pretty simple.
Donald, I'm just going to use, working on kidney today, like this kidney drink with the cranberry juice and corn oil.
That's to get rid of kidney stones.
That's not for traumas.
No.
Okay.
The kidney stones are very peculiar. They look like that. And it's only, of all the people, the ethnic group that gets the most kidney stones are the Negro from eating turnip greens and chitlings. And a few southern people who live in that area. 90% of them are all Negro, and they're the ones who get kidney stones. The rest of people don't get kidney stones, they get gallstones. Kidney stones come from eating turnip greens, mustard greens, and chitlings after 7 o'clock at night, because the oxalic salts will fill up and knock into the kidney. But the story looks like this. A gallstone looks like this. This is a dangerous one because it suctions against the skin and it locks. So in order to get it out, you have to put in the corn oil to go around the stone to act like a lubricant to disengage it from the walls of the kidney and the ureter tube. And then with the cranberry juice, it'll act as a flush and start sliding down. 9 times out of 10, it comes out the first time. Second may come the second time. Oh, I never had anyone who had any problem or did not come out yet. All passed it out. And their doctors are always amazed how it does the secret and identify it.
What causes the kidney stone to begin with?
The oxalic salts from the mustard greens and the turnip greens that are supposed to be eaten from 7 o'clock to midday, or midday for in the morning to 7 o'clock in the evening, because it's the middle of the day food. The Negro people of all eat it late at night because their wives go to work and they go to work, and that's one of their favorite food, mustard greens with chitlings and with pork fat and a slight different pork mix. They love to eat them. That's basically because they grew up, and therefore they're the major group in this country that have kidney stone surgery. And they are the ones that find out that it's coming from that, the oxalic salts. Now, same thing will be true of eating spinach cooked. You will get the kidney stones.
Isn't there calcium stones as well as uric acid kidney stones?
Very little calcium stones.
But calcium stones are different than... what you're talking about here is primarily uric acid stones, right?
No, that's from oxalic acid. Calcium deposits are entirely different.
You can get calcium kidney stones.
Yes, but that came from something else.
Yeah, okay.
Don, I just had some relatives, that just had kidney surgery to remove deposits. I didn't quite get, I don't think it was the meeting the greens and Uncle Zeal and hardly eating any greens. So what I'm wondering is what would the deposit have been in the kidney that had been surgically?
That's the one we're talking about, calcium deposits. That comes from something else.
That's from milk?
That comes from cheese.
Oh, that's cheese, okay.
I have a question, and this is out of the digestive system altogether, so would you prefer I don't ask you?
No, go ahead.
I have a thyroid disease, and I just wonder what you can do for the thyroid.
You're not getting enough iodine in your diet. You don't eat seaweed.
No. It's true.
See, and all the seafood products are high in iodine. And you need iodine 3 times a day. So 9 times out of 10, very few people know where to get iodine in the morning or in the middle of the day. All they know, it comes from seafood. Well, as long as you don't eat seafood, you're not going to get iodine. So the doctors are forced to develop a synthetic iodine to supplement it, because why? You're not going to eat the food that contains the iodine, and therefore they have to ensure that the thyroid or thyroxine goes in there to correct the thyroid. But if you were eating seaweed and your seafood at night, your thyroid would be normal, because the thyroid, if you look at the clock, it's a nighttime organ. See what time it works?
No, I didn't find it anything.
It's a lack of iodine in their diet.
Does kelp do anything?
Yes. Kelp is for the man and dulse is for the woman.
See? What's for the woman?
Dulse. It's a seafood, it's a seaweed, but the dulse works more for the woman and the kelp works more for the man.
What's the other two light groups that have iodine in the morning and afternoon?
In the morning, you'll find it in your pine nut.
Okay.
In your pine nut. You don't eat pine nuts?
Yeah. They're hard to eat.
I know they're hard to eat.
They're right.
But it's in the pine nut. And in the middle of the day, it's in your sesame seed.
Okay.
Thank you. Any questions you want to ask now?
Would you do a class sometime on the endocrine system?
Well, you see, the endocrine system is what the ancient people used to call chakras.
I know.
And until you clean your health up and understand what you're doing, you're not going to get the benefit of it. The endocrine system does work with nutrition, but originally it is synchronized to sound waves.
Sound waves organize
the endocrine systems better. And that's why the tape that we organize is to work in the endocrine system. So we call it a rubber weight. We'll do a workshop one of these days when I come back on a musical rubber weight, where they play the music for the major endocrine glands. They're called chakras. And male and female, that's the earth, sperm and ovum. And then they do the pressure action where you work in a circle, pressing on the areas of the body to release it.
Mm-hmm.
So because those are actually organs that, they're not really organs, as you said, they're ductless glands. So they have to do with your electrical and magnetic functioning of your body. And so in acupuncture, it's the predominant ones that are related to your body. So they refer that in yoga as chakras. So it's more for the magnetic and electrical reaction of the limbs and the muscles. It's got a little food. There's very good food for them. But you can use food to supplement them when they're breaking down. But as far as keeping them in proper health, sonics is the actual technique.
What did you say was?
Yeah?
Sonics.
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 All right, I'll show you what I mean. If you go on the reservation and you were sick, will they give you something to eat or they beat the drum and sing? Why? Is it because they want to cure your emotional stress from the problem you're complaining about, or to find you a food that the emotional stress doesn't want to keep down? So the medicine man doesn't find you a food to keep down the stress, because the body is in a emotional state. So he does what is called song therapy, to release the stresses in the emotional mechanism that you call the endocrine glands. So let's say you have a problem with being angry with someone and you have a bellyache, and the medicine man made a check and he said, well, you don't find anything wrong with you with any food. You need some kind of ritual to release you. So they may beat drums and dance all around you, and they will go into a singing and get you to sing with them. Eventually, you may do a type of a chant like this. And then he'll get you to do it. Literally, he's trying to tell you, stop being a fool and be a dog. Be a lion. Stick your tongue out. So the yogis in India, they do it the other way, you know. Lion goes.
That's
American it. Man says, hey, not man, we not doing it. Rock and roll, give it the gas.
So
each country or ethnic group is finding what? A way to release the stress that is brought on by the pressure.
Yeah.
And so this is what they're really doing, but they try to fix it and keep it in their own frame of reference. When you see it all true, you know that singing and dancing, and even the early Christians and Jews sing and dance the praises of the Lord, are all trying to release their emotional stresses so that the body will return to its natural metabolic rate. And music is one of the easiest ways to arrive at it. So the endocrine glands respond to it quicker through sound than through food. You can give food as a last backup, or a herbal condition of last backup. But 9 times out of 10, is here you come to what is called the placebo principle. It works with, and doctors and scientists don't like it because it's too fast and too simple and tend to be very weird and illogical. But that is nature's own laws.
I have a question. I'm burping cucumber, and I can't eat melons and cucumbers or watermelon. Anything that has seeds in it, I do get indigestion regardless. See, I eat that at noon, but I'm burping. I mean, I can taste cucumber just as if I planted it in under my big tooth.
Well, let me ask you a simple question. What color comes to your mind when you think of the cucumber or watermelon? Well, the very first time you ever had a cucumber or watermelon, how old were you?
I sort of grew up in the country, so I must have been pretty young. Okay. Let's see. It was more cantaloupe, because I grew up in Colorado in that area, so it was cantaloupe that really made me sick.
Mm-hmm. All right, the thing is this. Think back. Do you know of anything that were disappointed in around that time of your life?
I almost drowned.
And that real trauma.
I didn't die, so I don't know what's hiding.
You see, that's the trauma to the digestive tract.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, your body would ferment from the shock. So anything that is related to the melon family will set up a fermenting. But if you eat it in the middle of the day, at the moment now, it will act like an allergenic action, causing the gas to come to the surface. But if you don't stop it and you go 7 days, you will automatically correct it in the endocrine system because there are 7 endocrine glands, which are called chakras, and you have to work them through, and that's where the nutrition comes in, of taking something within its growth cycle to automatically correct the allergenic reaction that it's doing to your body.
In other words, I should eat melon for 7 days.
Yeah.
And
don't put no other food in.
Right.
Don't put no other food in.
I can almost, as I recall, as you said, where I lived, and my parents, they
yeah, but if you
do
it by itself, but don't get no other food next week. Give yourself enough time to do it within at least a couple of hours apart from all foods, and do it by itself for 7 straight days. The allergenic action will correct itself.
And can I do it with the one thing I'm pretty sure that does it is cantaloupe?
Yeah, that's right. Pick it and do it. Yeah.
That's
because
the first
that's
one.
It is what we call the allergenic action correcting itself.
Okay.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I'm type O blood. And I do eat a lot of meat. And I'm allergic to wheat, so I have not.
You would be. You're not mentioning anything unusual about the type O.
Well, type O's are allergic to wheat.
Yeah.
But it makes me be more acidic.
No.
To eat the wheat, because then my nose runs more.
Right.
So I don't eat the wheat, so I don't have that much trouble with that. So what do I do?
You see? All right. You remember the first time your mother told you to finish your plate before you leave the table?
No. I don't really remember my childhood too much at all.
It starts with something that was put in the plate that you didn't finish, and therefore that particular trauma has to do with bread in some form. See, because man has always referred to it as bread of life, and bread is the only thing he got to put on the table to give the child, and you better eat it up because it's costing a lot of money to get it there. So that is a shock to your system. So your body will resent the wheat in a way that will make you feel terrible. So if you were to do it, to correct it, you take the wheat and eat it for 7 days in the middle of the day, and don't eat no other food around it, and let the body go through its own allergenic correction, then you'll correct it.
Okay. So like an hour before and an hour after, don't eat anything.
That's right.
And don't drink anything.
Just
a piece of bread or something.
Right, because it has to make its own self-correction from the shock or the trauma of being told or forced to do things that it didn't want to do.
Yeah.
But you see, the reason you may not want to do it, it isn't that you personally didn't want to do it, it's that you didn't feel that you weren't hungry enough, and if they're giving you a lot of food in their mind thinking that's what you really need. Parents put a lot of food in front of the child thinking the child is going to eat it all because they want the child to be healthy and satisfied. 9 times out of 10, the child's tummy is so small and they can't eat all of it, and it doesn't want to, and it's already bloated up, and say, finish it before because it costs them money. So you get that trauma locking.
On the nitrosine paper, acid and alkaline, how do you use that?
Well, it's on the chart, there is a 7 is the normal reading. 6.5 to 7.5 is normal for the body. So if you put the piece of paper in your mouth and get it to saliva, it would read a darkish green to yellow, a little past yellow to green. So it will go from 6.5 to 7.5. That's the normal reading. When it's yellowish brown, you're too acid.
Mm-hmm.
When it's blue, purple, you're too alkaline.
So, you said that we needed to be 80%
alkaline
and 20% acid. I was trying to see how that related to the nitrosine vapor, which
nitrosine vapor
is
set already
for
what is accepted as a normal function in your saliva being of an 80% alkaline reaction and a 20% acid reaction. That paper is already made that way. You don't have to go look for it. It's already made up that way. So that when you put it in your saliva, it will interact with the chemicals in the paper to give the reading. And the reading is considered normal between 6.5 to 7.5. Now, if you're directly on 7, no, you're number one.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on 6.9, you're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
6.5 is the lowest you can go, and 7.5 is the highest you can go. So if you're right on 7, you're terrific. 7.4, you're terrific. But 7.5 is maximum high, and 6.5 is maximum low. So anyway below 6.5, you're too acid. Anyway above 7.5, you're too alkaline. So you've got this much range to go between 6.5 to 7.5. We'd rather see you directly on 7. But most people start off between 6.5, moving up to 7, and a little past 7 to 7.5. But after 7.5, you're not, you're too alkaline again. I used to read 9, 8, 9, 8, 9, my thought of a healthy person. I was going to save the world.
So then that if you read it and you're off, then what do you do? Go eat something that's...
Yes, if you're too alkaline, get something acid. Mm-hmm. So the first thing, acid, if you don't want to eat the egg, to get your acid, you don't want to eat a fish, drink a little wine if you don't want to drink that, then grab a hold of as much refined foods and eat them. Good old-fashioned bagel or donut or pie or some crazy white bread. Well, at least that's the acid reaction you need. Or that's too alkaline. If you're too acid, you better grab hold of something that'll make it alkaline. So an orange is alkaline in reaction, by the way. You start the process of bringing back the alkalinity. But anything that is unrefined is alkaline. Anything that is raw is alkaline. So you're getting it back right away. So there's a quick jump.
I know these people probably heard you answer this question before, but about the outer coverings on raw vegetables, which ones do you leave on, which ones do you take off? Like, I mean, you did have people that were, if I know I brought some cucumbers and for some reason they took off the skin. And usually I don't leave them on anyway, but I thought maybe that was the healthier thing to do. And
the answer is yes, no, maybe. You see, I eat the skin and no skin. So my point is not what I'm eating, it's when I'm eating it.
Okay, so it doesn't really make any difference then, as long as it's good and clean.
No, as long as it's clean.
Okay, thank you.
If this is a cucumber, well, the first thing I do is I cut off this end. I cut off that end and I rub it like this. That is to deactivate the gas out of it and throw it in.
What do you do, John?
I cut the tips off, rub them against each other. Like this is the tip of the cucumber.
All vegetables?
I cut the cucumber tip.
Okay.
Only the cucumber, I said. And then you rub that piece that I cut off the tip.
Yeah.
And I throw that away. That deactivates the gas out of it. Now, then I take the knife and I cut the cucumber down the middle. Then I take the knife and I cut it this way at an angle to prevent the minerals from leaching out. And I cut that all my vegetables like that to prepare them to eat them.
So my slice at an angle, not straight up and down.
That's right.
Then you wouldn't like that electric food slicer for Christmas, would you?
No, you cut it in a slice at an angle, doesn't matter. This part is made this way.
No, I think it only cuts that way. I guess you could put it in the sideways, but
but you're ensuring the way the fibers are holding the minerals, they don't leach out too fast. Let me ask you one question now. Since you've eaten this lunch today, how many of you felt sleepy?
I think I did a little, just slightly.
Don't be afraid, because if you're...
I've been sleepy all day, but it's nothing to do with... I don't think it has to do with the lunch.
If you feel sleepy, there is because the body is not eating on time. And this would be the first indication that the body is being forced to face itself. And therefore it will go like that to feel sleepy. Then as you become more and more conscious of eating on time, you'll find that your sleepiness will leave you. It's nature's natural way to deactivate the gas. So you'll find that if you did feel sleepy today, after eating, it's because the body was getting ready to correct itself.
You mean eating at the right time?
Whatever you eat should be at the right time. Your fruits and nuts in the morning, your vegetables above the ground in the middle of the day, and the vegetables under the ground at night. That is eating at the right time. And if you feel sleepy for the very first time, putting it in, following that routine, and you never ate like that before, your body is making the adjustment to correct itself. Then your body will start staying functional without feeling sleepy by eating on time all the time.
I used to eat eggs morning every 3 days, okay? And those were the worst days in my life. Now I know why. I can look back now the days I had the healthy breakfast, everything went wrong.
Well, what can be expected in changing over to this diet besides at first maybe sleepiness? Anything else that you
Yes, you will see for yourself if you got enough energy, if you feel sleepy less.
Gas.
Gas will leave your body, and you'll have more and more awareness of yourself. Okay, I have to work on this young man here, so I'm going to check it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're welcome.